verses 9 to 14. Thanks, brother.
Okay. All right.
Bless you.
It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, another a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Thank you. Nana, would you come up and pray over service?
Sure. God, sitting down. It's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, pray that we'll all have a good service today. Pray that you give preacher utterance, and I pray that all of us can learn something from today's sermon. Most holy and precious name, amen.
Thank you. All right, so the title of my text today is Jesus Came for the Messy. Jesus came for the messy. My point one is that Jesus comes to those who know they are sick, right? You know, Jesus didn't choose the good people, right? In Luke 18 here, he didn't, you know, justify, you know, the person who thought he was righteous based off his works. Look at Luke 18 with me, verse 9. Look what it says here. He spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They thought they were righteous and then despised others. Now, that describes about 99% of Christians today. Would you agree? Where many people think they're righteous based on their works, based on their deeds. Many people think they're going to go to heaven based on their deeds, based on what they do. Oh, because I went to church. I got baptized. I stopped this sin or that sin. And so a lot of people today who claim to be Christian are really just trusting in themselves. And we get to Matthew chapter 7. You know, it's so-called the most scary verse in the Bible. It's only scary if you're trusting in your works to save you. Because the Bible says in that text, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works? Right? Those people didn't say, Lord, Lord, I believed in you. I trust in you. I depended on what you did. No, they were trusting what? Themselves. And in Luke 18, what we see here is a person who's very religious, who, you know, kind of like a modern Christian today. I pray to God. I went to church. I give tithe. I haven't done this. I'm not like this publican, right, who's a sinner. But yet, look at the text here in verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. I mean, what? Declare righteous, declare right with God. Not because of what he did, but because he placed his faith in who? Jesus. And he was made right with God on the basics of his faith. Not what he does or doesn't do. But the Pharisee, right, the person who was trusting in his own righteousness, the person who was trusting what he did, a person who thought he wasn't sick, God had not justified him. So my point one is that Jesus comes to those who know they are sick, right? Jesus said he came to the sick, right? Not the healthy, right? Real sickness, right, is when we pretend we are fine and hide what's really going on, right? When churches focus on looking perfect, right? And to be honest, we stop being real. We start wearing masks, but Jesus came only to heal those who were sick. And in church that you can't feel like yourself, right? Right? You have to put on a mask for a church. You got to dress a certain way, act a certain way. You can't be honest, right? A gathering like this should be a place where you can be honest. Say, yeah, I'm not perfect. Look at me. I'm not perfect. I'm not this man of God. Don't let this fool you. We're all equal in Christ. I'm not a pastor. Okay, I don't have a seminary degree. I'm just a person who believes the gospel and wants to share that comfort with you. And the reason we do gatherings like this is because most people are a little antisocial and they don't like to speak. And some people do, some people don't. But this is just more how people are comfortable with. But my point is this, is that we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sick. I'm sick. I'm a sinner. But here's the good news of the gospel, amen, is that it's not about what we do or don't do. It's not about giving your life to Jesus, right? In churches, they'll say that, oh, give your life to God. No, it's about what Jesus did for you. He gave his life for you. That's the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose in the third day according to the scriptures. See, the gospel is about what Jesus did for you, not what you do for him. Right? A lot of people today who say they're a Christian are really not Christian. Why? Because you ask them. The more you talk to them, they reveal themselves. They're trusting in their own righteousness. My second point is this. We all hide the part of us that we don't want anyone to see. We all have two versions of ourselves. Let's be honest here. The one we show the world. Let's be honest. The one that you show your Burton VR chat.
I need to go potty.
The one that you show the world. Spooky. Kick all those people back there. Kick Bunkers and the person right there, Ava, and then Manny. Kick both of them. The two in the last pew. Go ahead and remove both of them. Sorry, guys. You see the troll. God bless. Let's go ahead and remove them. All right. So, sorry about that, guys. Listen, if you're here to troll, please leave. I'm not in the mood for that, all right? So, we all had a part that we don't want anyone to see. We have two versions of ourselves. The one we show the world, since we're in VR chat, the one that you show your community. Oh, yeah, they run a community, right? Maybe you run a bar group. Maybe you run a club. Or maybe, you know, run some kind of, you know, gaming thing, whatever. And you have to put a mask on sometimes, you know, to pretend to be something that you're not and act like you have it all together. And I want to show you that it's okay to be honest. And the other side that we have is the one that we hide. We hide the inside. And we hide because we're afraid of rejection. We're scared that if people saw the real us, they walk away. So we pretend. So we act strong. We stay busy. We numb our pain with distraction, whether it's VR chat stuff. But listen, when we hide, when we hide, right, that fake self, that our real selves, it still controls us. Right? Freedom begins when we tell the truth about our condition that, hey, you know what, I'm not perfect. Right? If I was honest with you, Martin Luther said this, I look in a mirror and all I see is sin. Well, look at Christ, all I see is righteousness. And he goes on to say this, how God sees you is no longer in your sins, right? To be justified is means that God no longer sees you in your sins. That's the good news of the gospel. That the moment you believe what Jesus did, all sins, past sins, present and future are forgiven. This is what Paul describes in Romans 4. He says, it's to him who works not, but believe. Their faith is counted for righteousness. So if you place your faith in what Jesus did, all your sins are forgiven. You're now made righteous. Well, preacher, I'm not living like it. It's not based on how you live. It is based on what Jesus did. Many of us throw the cross out, right? I mean, most institutional churches has forgotten the cross and what it pictures, what it represents. It represents total forgiveness, total reconciliation to God. But as believers, as saved believers, we're now children of God by faith. It is okay to be honest. Paul says we're now in freedom, liberty. And we're now free to be honest. Free to be you. You don't have to hide what you're afraid of people have seen. You don't have to be afraid of rejection because you've been accepted in the beloved by faith. God no longer sees your sins. Men might see your sins. People might call it out. But in God's eyes, you're perfect. Not because of what you do or don't do, but because of what Jesus did. I'm sorry about that, guys. Some guy dropped a portal to hell. Can you kick Harvey? Harvey, is he still here? Did you kick him?
He's gone.
All right, thank you. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, I lost what I was saying. But my point is we're free in Christ. We're free to be honest with ourselves. God sees us as perfect, not because of what we do or don't do, because of what Jesus did. See, going to heaven is not based on your works. It's not based on your lifestyle. It's not based how much you go to church, how much you pray, how much you read your Bible. It is based on what Jesus did. Now, okay, well, I believe that, preacher. Now what? As a saved believer, you're free to enjoy your God. Free to enjoy His love, His acceptance, His forgiveness, His grace. Martin Luther said this, that the Christian life, as Christians, we have everything we need. Victory over death, life, grace, forgiveness, everything we need in Christ. The Christian life is about rest and what God has accomplished. And yet many Christians are stuck like the cross never happened. And so their message of Jesus is this hard taskmaster, this servant, you know, a person who wants servants and slaves. But when we see what Paul presents Jesus as, it's a friend. What we see in the Gospels is that Jesus was a friend of sinners. He ate with them, drank with them. Never judged them, never condemned them. But now because of religion and because of many people living like the cross never happened, we have a false idea of Jesus, a false God, another Jesus, another spirit that the apostles didn't preach, that Paul didn't preach. And now you have different views of Christianity. There's thousands of denominations, Baptists, Lutherans, Catholic, Orthodox, Protestants, all mixed up. It's all mixed up. Which one's true? And you say, well, I believe the Bible. Well, that can mean different things. When I say I just believe the Bible, I believe the Bible. What I say is I believe the gospel. I believe what Jesus did for me, and I trust that as my righteousness. Not my works, not what I do. Because Jesus came for the messy. He came from the dope addict. He came for the drunk, the fornicator, the adulterer. He came for sinners. And now you place your faith in him. Guess what? You're no longer a sinner in His eyes. You may sin outwardly in the flesh every day as long as you live in this life, but in God's eyes, He no longer sees you as a sinner. He sees you as a child, a daughter. This is all about the gospel. My third point is that the gospel is this. God loves the person you hide. The real you. The one that's fear of rejection. God loves the part of you that you're scared to show. The version of you that's in the mess, in the temptation, in the sin, and shame. Not later, when you approve. Not when you clean yourself up. Right now, God loves you. Jesus didn't wait for you to get better. He went to the cross for you. And what did He do at the cross? Well, He died for my sins. But you know what that means? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, He became sin, yet knew no sin. So we can be made the righteousness of God in Him. And is that by works? No. It's by faith and faith alone. Oh, well, preacher, Cobra, I got you. James chapter 2. I had a guy here before service. This is before I opened the instance. And I asked him, you know, what are you doing in the instance? And he said, well, Cobra, you told me I was a false prophet and I was going to hell. I said, oh, I must have had a good reason to say that to you. And then he said, yeah, because I quoted James 2. I said, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you're right. You are going to go to hell. You're going to be destroyed by the Lord. And it sounds harsh, but why, preacher, that's harsh. Why would you say that? Because people like him is the reason why you think God hates you. So he debated with me. He said, okay, well, what does James mean then when he says faith without works is dead? I said, okay. What does Paul have to say about James? Let's go to Galatians 2. Paul says what? They added nothing to my faith. See, James was not clear on grace. His letter reflects of what the church in Jerusalem believed in before Paul was raised. God raised up Paul because the early church in Jerusalem was taking decline. When the Jews were coming to faith, they were taking the customs of the law and now implying it for the Christian life. So God raised up Paul in response to what was going on in Jerusalem. That's why Paul's ministry is completely distinct and independent from Jerusalem. And you can read more about this in Galatians. Read it for yourself. Read Galatians 2. It's only about 21 verses. And see how Paul says about James, John, and Cephas, which is Peter, how he felt about them. He says, they add nothing to my faith. Now, that sounds harsh, but keep this in mind, is that Peter was supposed to be the one preaching to the Gentiles, but he didn't do it. He led a couple of Gentiles, we see in Acts 10. But the reason was, he wasn't correcting the error that was in the church. People going back to the law. Why? Because the cross, what did it accomplish? It abolished the law. When Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. What does that mean? To bring it to its end. And he did that at the cross. And because he brought the law to its end, he abolished it in his flesh, Paul says in Ephesians 2:15 and Colossians 2:14. So we don't live by the tree of good and evil, which is the law. But anyway, my point is that the gospel is not about you. It is not about your lifestyle. It's not whether you come to church. It's about what Jesus did at the cross. And we are saved, made right with God, not by things we do, not by obedience, not by self-improvement or self-reformation. It is by faith in what Jesus did. And that is it. See, this shocks people because people have one sin. That thing, you know, it's funny because this guy I was talking to, he said, well, preacher, I stopped most of my sins. And I said to him, but you haven't stopped this one. He says, what do you mean? I said, you're doing what Satan told Adam and Eve. He said, what do you mean I'm doing what Satan told Adam and Eve? What did Satan tell Adam and Eve? Was it go fornicate? No. Was it ERP and VR chat? No. What was it? It was what? You can be like God, knowing from good and from evil. Saying you can be holy, you can be righteous, you can be just by your works. If you knew what was right from wrong. And that was the sin that Satan told Adam and Eve. You see that? So just like in Luke 18, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. And that's the sin that most people are doing, is that the sin of the garden. They think they can be like God, knowing from right and wrong. They can be righteous. They can be holy. They can be made right with God apart from God himself. So that was the sin in the garden. See, God never wanted us to live by good and evil. Before Satan tempted Adam and Eve with that sin, they were living by faith. Their source came from God, not from this tree of good and evil. But because of Adam and Eve who ate that tree, now we have tons of religions. And if you look at all the religions in the world, they'll have one thing in common, the golden rule. Do what is right and don't do what is wrong. And that was Satan's message. Even atheists will live by this rule, living by the knowledge of good and evil. So it wasn't God's plan for all of us to live by the law. But why did he give us the law then? If we're not supposed to live by it, or we're not saved by it, what was the purpose? Because he took what Satan did in the garden and gave Israel the law to show Israel, if you're going to live by this so-called good and evil, I'm going to show you how holy and righteous I am. So he gave the law, what the tree and evil represented. And so God gave us that, not to save us, not to justify us, but to show us we can't keep it. Romans 3:18, what does it say? For what the law says, it says to whom we are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world become guilty before God. Therefore, we're justified by faith apart from the law. So God gave the law to show people how holy he is. That if you are going to live by good and evil, then look at the laws and this is how you live by. But here's the problem. No one can live by it. Because the Bible says you have to continue in all things. And if you offend one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. So I'm asking you a question. Can you live by the law? No, it's impossible. So what's our good news? The cross. What Jesus did. We're no longer on this side of the cross. We're not on this side where he finished his work. It is what? Accomplished. There's no more sacrifice for sin. See, in Hebrews 10:26, when it talks about people who are willfully sinning, it was referring to Jews who were getting tempted to go back to animal sacrifices. That was the context of that verse. And what Paul was saying in Hebrews was, listen, you should know that if you sin willfully, there's no more sacrifices for sin because Jesus made the one-time sacrifice already. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says we're sanctified by his body. The moment you believe, your sins are gone. So if you willfully sin after you are saved, there's no more sacrifices for sin because Jesus made the one-time sacrifice. You don't need to go back to animal sacrifices. But what most people do today, they won't say, well, you have to go back to animal sacrifices. But they'll say, you have to atone it with something else. So they might say, come to church more, read your Bible more, pray more. So they build up their own law. The laws of men or other stuff. And that's why Paul says, if I build again, which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Talking about making up your own laws. And that's what Christians have done, is make up their own laws of good and evil. Okay, well, you have to, you know, content. He says, well, you have to do animal sacrifices, but, you know, church more, read your Bible more. And what is that? That's their own animal sacrifices. No, listen, if you sin right now, if you sin 1,000 times a day, none of it will touch God's record because you've been forgiven at the cross. See, all your sins were future sins to Jesus. And Romans 4:7 says, blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. Why? Because the moment you believe, you're what? Forgiven. Now, we're forgiven, preacher. We're right with God. But how do we live our lives as believers now? And this is where it gets confusing, because you have one Christians will say, well, you should do good. You should love others. If you don't love others, well, then God's going to punish you. That's wrong. There's a quote, and it says this, you will never be punished by your sin twice. Why? Because Jesus already took the punishment at the cross. See, the Christian life is not about, again, living from right and wrong. Now listen, I'm for loving people. I'm for caring for people, but we don't love other people. We don't care for other people by the law. There's a new way, Paul says. And that's the newness of life. We serve in newness of spirit, Paul says, and that's a life dependent on God. It's by God's mercies, right? My point is, though, is that the Christian life is not about self-reformation, self-improvement, commitment. It's about growing in the love and the acceptance and the grace that God has for you. You're saved by faith. Look at me. Listen. You believe the gospel. You're saved. Amen. You're going to heaven no matter what. But you're still down here. And how do you live your life? By faith. Enjoy what God has accomplished for you. Enjoy the love. Enjoy the acceptance. Enjoy the grace. There's no condemnation for you. None at all. John 3:18. He that believeth is not condemned. You're no longer standing condemned before God. No matter what you do, nothing can separate you from God's love. Romans 8 says so. So you're right with God now. And let's say, well, preach what I sin tonight. You're still right with God. Because it's not based on your sins. It's solely based on what Jesus did. Mr. Man, can you kick Night Lord 331? Thank you. Sorry, guys. People drop portals. But anyway, God loves the person you hide. And even, listen, even as believers, as saved believers, sometimes we hide the real self. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I have nothing to hide. I'm not ashamed. Is I'm not perfect. Now, in God's eyes, I'm perfect, but I'm still down here. I'm human, okay? I have things that you know, I do every day. I sin every day. We all do. There's nothing good in the flesh. But here's the thing. I don't condemn myself, and neither should you, because the Christian, like, kick that person who's flying up there.
Where?
1 second. Okay. Sorry. Stay outside. Spooky, stay outside for me. Sorry, guys. Some guy was flying up there, and sometimes they do that to, like, blast music, and I want to hear it. All right. Anyway. Anyway. But as believers, you know, sometimes we hide our true self, and we're trying to pretend that we're something not. And if you read Galatians, it says this. It talks about the works of the flesh, and part of the work of the flesh is what? Emulation. You know what that means? Pretending to be something that you're not. And what do most Christians do today? Pretend to be something that they're not. Church should be a place, a gathering like this should be a place where you can be honest, free to be yourself.
question.
Remember something. Our acceptance is not based on one another. It is solely based on what Jesus did. Our Christian life as believers is not based on good and evil, living by what is right from wrong. No, the Christian life is lived by what? Growing in the grace of God, growing in His love and His acceptance and His finished work, understanding what He accomplished for us. We no longer live by law. We no longer live by good and evil. We live by faith.
Amen.
We no longer trust in what we do. We trust what Jesus did. And after we're saved, the whole point of the Christian life is to enjoy the gift. Enjoy the gift. We're almost done. Jesus came for the messy. He came for the sick.
Thank you.
Those who know they are sick. Not these self-righteous pastors, these churches on VR chat who think they have it all together, because they don't. He came for the broken. He came for the sinner. He came for the ungodly. He came to make the ungodly righteous. He came to make the unjust just. And guess what? All of us today are sinners. But in God's eyes, we are saints. We are holy. We are righteous because of the finished work of Jesus. Not because of anything we've done. Martin Luther said this: when I look to myself, I see nothing but sin. When I look to Christ, I see nothing but righteousness. And he says this: God does not see your sin in Christ. He sees only Christ in you. Right now, you can say, well, preacher, I'm drunk in service. I'm high. You know, I ERP like 5 minutes. I'm planning to ERP right after the service. I'm gonna tell you is that even while you do that, God still sees you as righteous.
Shalom, everyone.
God still sees you as righteous. Keep it back to me, please. Thank you. So, yes, when we look at ourselves, we can say, I see nothing but sin. When we look at the gospel, we see nothing but God's righteousness. And we're now righteous by faith. One time moment of faith, you are made righteous.
You ever heard of
the law, another quote by Luther, again, I'm sorry, but he has some good quotes. He says this: let the law accuse me 1,000 times, I hold up Christ who has abolished the law for me. And what will other Christians do to you? Attack you, accuse you. But you can say what?
Come here often.
I hold up Christ.
Oh, so you.
All right. So I'm going to have to remove these guys. Listen, guys.
Shalom, brother.
If you're here to troll, please leave. I'm trying to do service. I get it. It's VR chat. I understand. I'm going to have to remove you guys. I do apologize. All right. We're almost done. We've gone for a long time now. But the point is this, is that you are free in Christ. You're right with God. You're holy. You're righteous because of what Jesus did. Not because of your works. Not because you go to church. Not because you pray a certain way or read the Bible a certain way. Because you believed what Jesus did. And the gospel is the good news that Christ died for sinners.
He died for the ungodly.
He died for everyone. And all who believe in him will be saved. All right. Drowsy. All those who are back there who are coming in here right now to troll, remove them. Just remove them. Don't. Yeah, just remove all of them.
Not me.
All right. Okay. I can't focus. I'm sorry. Too much trolls. Okay. But anyway, salvation by faith alone. Okay, we're saved by faith. Now what? Enjoy the gift. Enjoy God's love. Enjoy God's acceptance. Enjoy His mercy. Enjoy His grace. You lack nothing as a believer. When men call your sins out, you hold up Christ and you have the finished work. That's the good news. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray that the message was clear enough. Sorry if it wasn't. If you have any questions, let me talk to you after service. All right, Lord, I pray for you. Bless these people. Help these people grow in their understanding of who they are in Christ, their grace, their love, and their acceptance, Lord. Know that they're right with you because of what you did on the cross. Not because they're good, not because they've done this or that, because of what you did. And I pray, Lord, for those who struggle with any condemnation about their sins, that you remind them that you don't see their sins anymore. Hebrews 10:17 says this: their sins and their iniquities I remember no more. As you said in your word in Romans 4:7, their sins are gone. past, present, future. We thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness. And we thank you that we can now rest in your grace, rest in your love, rest in your acceptance, knowing it's not based on our performance, but solely based on your finished work. We thank you, Lord, for the cross of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Help us to rest in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Service is over for fellowship. Sorry. Amen.